In Washington State, two candidates with the most votes move forward to the general election, regardless of the parties that they are affiliated with. We call it the top two primary system. Well, next month, Oregon voters will decide whether to change their primary to a top two system. As it stands now in Oregon, you register with a party, and then you can only vote for someone running in that party when it comes to the primary. Well, Chris Lehman covers Oregon state government for the Northwest News Network. He explained why supporters of what's called Measure 90 want to change the system.
Primarily, it's because there's an increasingly significant percentage of Oregon voters who do not wish to affiliate with a major party. In fact, it's nearly one-third of all voters, registered voters in Oregon, are not affiliated with the Democratic or the Republican Party. So, in other words, nearly one-third of registered voters don't get to choose who appears on the November ballot. Obviously, in November, everybody gets the same ballot. But if you live in a heavily Democratic district and you are an independent voter, then the winner of that Democratic primary is, for all intents and purposes, going to win in November, and you really haven't had the chance to pick that person. So that's their primary goal. They say secondary goals such as increased voter turnout are not the main objective. Their main objective is to increase the pool of eligible voters in the primary.
Now, the other side, the No on Measure 90 campaign, says on their website that Measure 90 would dramatically change our elections. Is that accurate? And what are their arguments against this?
I think it's certainly true to say that it would dramatically change the election system in Oregon. I don't think either side of the ballot measure is really disputing that. That's arguably the whole point of it. Their argument against it is twofold. Part of it stems from the source of funding for the ballot measure campaign to get it passed. It's being funded heavily by fairly wealthy out-of-state individuals whose interest in this measure is not really clear. In fact, former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg this week poured in $1.25 million into this effort. That's not really specifically an argument against it. They're just saying beware the motives. You know, are they trying to buy for themselves more influence into Oregon's electoral process? It's not really clear. Their second argument is that having just two candidates on the November ballot creates situations like Washington has right now in the 4th congressional district, where there are two members of the same party, or at least two people who share a similar political ideology on the November ballot. So if you're a left-leaning voter in Washington's 4th district, you don't really have somebody to vote for, if you will, in the fall. So they're saying that could happen and probably will happen in certain districts in Oregon, primarily state legislative districts.
Chris Lehman from the Northwest News Network is telling us about Oregon's Measure 90. It would create a top two primary system in Oregon. Now, Chris, I can recall when this was debated here in Washington State, the Democratic and Republican parties hated it because it allowed for some primaries to have the top two vote getters who were Democrats or Republicans. So the major parties kind of lost out on their automatic slot in the general election. Have the state parties in Oregon been fighting this also?
Yes, both the Democratic and Republican parties in Oregon have come out against it, a rare situation of them agreeing on anything, especially a ballot measure. There's been a few minor parties that have come out against it because they say it would often freeze them out of the general election ballot, although to be fair, some minor parties support it. The effort primarily has been funded, that is, the effort to block it has primarily been funded by public employee unions who are traditionally associated with the Democratic Party. But Republicans have also been speaking out against it.
Now, we have a top two primary. You're voting on a top two primary. Would the two be the same if you pass yours?
I believe the chief difference is that in Oregon, one would still have to register with a political party, and candidates would have to run, affiliate themselves with a political party to run. However, that may be a distinction without a practical difference. I mean, the nuts and bolts of it is that everybody could vote for anybody in the primary ballot, and then just the top two would advance to the November ballot. So, you know, practically speaking, it would be very similar.
Chris, it's so interesting that all this big money is going in to pass this top two primary, but it's a little murky as to what their motives are.
Certainly. And that's obviously given the opponents of this top two primary a lot of fodder for their campaign materials because, you know, all you got to say is out-of-state billionaires. And, you know, that's going to raise some eyebrows. And in fact, it's not really clear that this top two system is going to pass in Oregon. There hasn't been a lot of polling on it compared to some of our other ballot measures. But it doesn't seem to have started with a huge source of support. In fact, a similar top two system was on the ballot in Oregon in 2008, and that lost by a considerable margin. However, since then, the number of voters who aren't affiliated with major parties has continued to increase. But even if every unaffiliated voter voted for this, you'd still come up a good 20 percentage points short.
So limited polling, but it looks like top two primary in Oregon is going to have a very uphill battle to win.
Exactly.
We'll keep an eye on that. Chris Lehman covers Oregon state politics. Excuse me, for the Northwest News Network. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.